This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, I want to move on. There's been a steady rise in the number of parents choosing to homeschool their children in Ireland. And I suppose the decision for some is about flexibility, tailored learning, and for others about concerns of the elements in the current school curriculum, including the moral and relationship education aspects of it. There are many people who have said to me in the past, and certainly over the last couple of years, listen, I don't want to send my kids to school to be told there's 900 genders, whereas other people might be quite happy with that. At the same time, a major national conversation about the future of education is underway. The upcoming Convention on Education, chaired by Anne Looney, will bring together 150 participants across four groups: young people, parents, educators, and wider stakeholders, whatever that even means, NGOs, i.e. And it's a strategy from the Department of Education and Youth looking at what's working in primary and post-primary schools, what needs to change, and how education should evolve in the years ahead. But there are concerns being raised about how widely known this convention actually is. Some would argue that many parents were unaware of it and that it's even taken place, and the question whether families are being fully included in decisions that will directly affect their children's education. Now, all this kind of feeds into a broader debate about the choice and the trust of the education system. Unlike classroom teachers, parents do not need formal qualifications to homeschool their children. Some families say their children flourish in their home environment. Others will say that they don't, because they don't get to meet other children and socialise, and they don't have the same academic outcome. But let me know what you think. Have you ever thought about homeschooling your children? Why are more and more people doing it? Would you do it? And do you believe that children who are homeschooled are at a disadvantage academically, socially, or emotionally compared to those in mainstream schools? Or could they, in some cases, actually be better off? Now, joining me to discuss that and the convention and everything else is Jana London from the Natural Women's Council. Jana, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
Now, you drew my attention to something. You contacted me and I had no idea, and I thought I knew everything. I had no idea this was a thing. This is the Convention on Education and Natural Conversation. I'm looking at it here online. It's a website set up at the gov.ie Department of Education. And it goes on about, you know, this convention. Explain to me, first of all, what this convention is.
So the convention, the National Convention for Education, is about reshaping the future of education in Ireland, both in the primary and the secondary schools. They say they want to get parental feedback, student feedback, teachers, etc. But I'm quite shocked that as a mother of two children, I have not seen anything where parents have been invited to attend this consultation through the survey. And I think what it boils down to is the same thing we've seen in much of the content being pushed into schools, the highly sexual content. There's no safeguarding and there's no sign off on the books, but it boils down to the Department of Education forgetting that under Article 42.1 of the Constitution, it expressly recognizes parents as the primary natural educators of our children. So any national conversation on education that does not place parents at its center is fundamentally illegitimate. It's a process that sidelines parents. It's not a consultation. It's a sham dressed up as democracy.
Well, see, they'll argue, Jana, that we gave a mandate to the individuals responsible for education, i.e. the Department of Education and the Minister of Education, when we voted for them. And that's the mandate, and that's our input into it. That's their argument to me.
Yeah, but we can't blindly trust the Department of Education to put any content or strategy in place for our children. What we see in the school books today is nothing short of child abuse. And I do want to give an example
of what you're talking about. One example was that ridiculous book last year that was taken. It was actually withdrawn in the end, which was of the silly looking Irish family in their stupid little jerseys and Gansies and eating potatoes while the kind of metropolitan foreign family were having a great time and looked very, very sophisticated. But we looked like a bunch of ticks. So that was, I don't know who even approved that. The Minister for Education at the time said he didn't know who approved it, but because nobody actually approved it. But it went straight
none
into
of the
children.
Books have sign off.
Yeah, that's
none
what I'm saying. It went straight into the children's school bags. It's correct. Now been withdrawn. That particular those pages have been taken out of it, I believe. But there was no accountability at the time as to who actually signed off on it, or who even did nobody even spot that before it appeared, you know, on social media initially, then gripped, then it went to all the other news outlets as well. It was a bizarre situation. And you've also outlined, and I don't want to go into everything because we could be here all day talking about all the different examples that you might have, but some of the material that you have witnessed and seen in school books is sexualized material that would be inappropriate for children of an age.
Absolutely. And anyone who wants to see this for themselves, please don't trust me. Do your own research. We spent the summer writing a 20-page Connect Ed guide on the naturalwomenscouncil.com website. The Connect Ed toolkit actually shows the specific examples from the school books, so parents can ask themselves if they're comfortable with this going in the classroom. There's about 5 pages of the 20-page guide dedicated to showing the name of the book, the publisher, and what's in it. One example of a book which has 7 pages on very, very detailed masturbation, including can you masturbate someone else? I don't want my age 12 daughter to be taught in a classroom with peers that she can masturbate someone else. It's not age appropriate, and I think most parents would agree. My understanding is that these chapters are going to be removed, some of this highly sexual content, because of the pushback from the 100,000 parents in our direct Natural Women's Council network.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jan, because this question comes up on the show a lot. Whose job is it to educate your children around sexual relationships? I understand that there's a level of relationship education, you know, in primary school. I would be quite concerned about some of the stuff that I've seen, by the way, in relation to that. I think children are quite innocent up to the point of going to secondary school anyway. But when it comes to even secondary school, whose job is it? Is it the parents' job or is it the state's job? Because if we're saying it's the parents' job, most parents do a decent job, but some are useless.
Yeah, I think the primary role lies with the parents. And yes, as you said, some are useless, but the parents are the primary natural educators, particularly with sensitive subjects like sexuality, sex, contraception, and all of those things that are in the school books. Age 12 are not being taught about relationships, marriage, family, and having children, which is obviously impacting our birth rate, which is below replacement level, but they're being taught about contraception, STIs, and abortions. I didn't sign up for my age 12-year-old girl and my little boy to be learning.
But STIs are important to learn about in school too, aren't they?
Yeah, and for sex ed, to your question, I detracted a little bit. Sex ed, I have no problem in schools with biological information being taught. So children, you know, maybe dividing the kids up into boys in one room, girls in another, learning about you're going to have a menstrual cycle, you're going to grow breasts and hips and your hormones will be raging and this is all natural. Or for the boys, talking about what happens with little boys at that age. No problem with the biology. What's happening is they're pushing very much an ideological approach that not only contradicts biology, but it ignores the CAS report, which is something the Department of Education does not even want to look at, which states that socially transitioning children is not neutral territory, including the use of pronouns. So sex is very different to sexuality. Biological information like puberty is okay because I was a child where my mother didn't talk to me about getting my menstrual cycle before it started, and I wish that I had learned more about that when I was 12.
I can't imagine what that would be like for a young girl if she didn't have that information before it actually happened.
Yeah, that's important, but that's a lot different than the sexuality education we're being our kids are being taught, which is things like the genderbread person in the book saying you can be a boy, girl, neither or both. And that's in one of the school books. And where we're launching on our Instagram page, the Natural Women's Council, the classroom report, because parents always come to us and say, I don't believe what you're saying is actually in the books. So we're doing the classroom report, which are 90-second clips showing the cover of the book and the pages. We've done the genderbread person. To this week, I'll be recording the detailed
gender-bred
class contract.
I see that. But getting back to, because I'm stuck for time here, but getting back to the convention itself. So it's really important that parents get involved in this, right? On the website, on the government website, there is a little button you can click to have your say. Complete a survey or make a submission. And if I click that there, ask me, you know, for some questions of what I think should be in it. Because the convention itself, as I said, is chaired by Professor Anne Looney. But it's on in March, May, September and November at numerous dates around those time. Currently at the moment, the convention will comprise of 150 people across 4 groups. Children and young people, 30 people. Parents and guardians, only 30 people to represent the whole country. School employees and early years educators, 30 people. But here's the funny bit. Education stakeholders get the most, 60 people.
Correct.
So these are NGOs, and I don't want to go into the name of them all. I think we all know who they are. These are NGOs who have an interest in getting their information into the minds of children. And they are the biggest representation in this particular convention, which is quite bizarre. So when does it close? When do the submissions close? This is the problem. Nobody really knows about it.
No, there's three things that every man and woman should do. You don't even have to be a parent. Anyone can submit the survey. The three things that have to be done is, one, to submit the survey. But at the very end of the survey, you can submit up to 1,000 words of your own and upload a document to submit. We urge everyone to do that and to save the document down, because I believe there's a risk that our feedback won't be heard if it goes against the agenda being pushed on our children. So do the survey, submit the document. But the third thing is to put pressure on the Department of Education. Everybody write a letter to the Department of Education, send an email, two lines. I did not know about this survey as a parent. We demand that it's extended. So this survey is a complete and utter sham dressed up as democracy unless they extend it and invite
everybody.
But
there's no point in having a survey for parents if parents don't know about it, because
that's right.
I haven't seen this coming up anywhere. I didn't know about it until you told me about it. Somebody else just texted in, by the way, to say it ends this Friday. So it's actually
only got two days.
I'll say, Niall, is
on my school communication platform, we use Aladdin. I know there's lots of different platforms. We always get surveys coming out about SNAs or no screens in school or mobile phone policies. The amount of surveys I get in a year is loads. But why is this one not being sent out? Why are they not asking for parents' feedback, yet they're calling it a national convention and they want a national conversation on it? National is not 30 parents.
No, I was going to say, who selected the 30 parents? It's like, I suppose for people who don't understand, it's like a citizens' assembly for education. So who selected the young people, 30 young people and 30 parents? Who selected them and where were they selected from? I think that's really important to know.
Because, and I attended a session on Saturday. I'll just jump in and say the National Parents Council, where has the deputy CEO is Catherine Cross. I believe she used to work at Tenney. She put on a session last Saturday, and myself and a few people in our group attended to give our feedback. They put it on the flip charts, and they're supposed to be feeding that feedback up to the national conversation. I will be writing a letter in to make sure that mine was captured, make sure it doesn't disappear. But the other thing I'll call on the National Parents Council is the national parent body meant to recognize parents. Why aren't they notifying parent bodies like the Catholic Secondary School Parents Association and like all the schools to say, you need to get this survey out to parents? So I call on the Department of Education to extend it. We call on the National Parents Council to push it out to all schools so every parent knows about it, even if they're not active on Twitter.
Also as well, just before you go, in relation to the rise in people homeschooling their children, which was quite a common thing in the United States where you're originally from, but here in Ireland it wasn't as common. Many, many years ago it was, and then of course when proper schooling came along, we all kind of trusted the education system. But now it's kind of doing it a bit of a U-turn, and we're seeing more people homeschooling their children. Do you think homeschooling is a good thing?
I think it's the best thing that a mother and father can do for their child, and I would encourage everyone to watch a podcast we did on this with a very seasoned homeschooler, Monica O'Connor. I gave her several obstacles that we're hearing from parents on why they think they can't homeschool. She knocked every one of those down. She homeschooled her five children. They're all happy, healthy, and thriving. And she knocked down all the obstacles, whether it was financial or kids aren't going to be socialized, et cetera. I came from a family, my cousins homeschooled their children, and they tested way beyond the middle mainstream schools. They were off the charts several grades ahead. They had the one-to-one attention in the morning, hour and a half homeschooling, and the rest of the day they were reading, they were writing, they were doing what they love. They developed a love for learning. It wasn't sitting in a class for 6 hours being told to sit down and be quiet like their little factory workers. They were enjoying learning, and they're thriving entrepreneurs.
I think if it was me doing it all over again, I could probably homeschool a child up to about 14 years of age. But after that, you know, I probably wouldn't have the education to do it, because I'm not a trained teacher, obviously. I wouldn't know the curriculum inside out. Like, for example, I have a stepdaughter who's 16. And I used to help her with her homework, you know, up to recently. But now she's way ahead of me when it comes to maths, when it comes to all those things, because, you know, she's doing her exams and all that kind of stuff. So she's way ahead of me. So I don't think I'd have the confidence to homeschool after the age of 14.
Monica will convince you that you do. And you don't have to be a math expert. You can find resources to help your child, but that child will thrive in a homeschool environment. I know many homeschoolers in Ireland, and all of their kids are happy, healthy, thriving, both academically and socially. They're not being taught about 72 genders or that the earth's going to burn up and they should live in fear. They're being taught real subjects like science, geography, history, reading, literature, and languages.
Okay, by the way, just to mention to people as well, the expression of interest in relation to that convention, by the way, is now closed. But all members of the convention have now been selected to participate, even though we knew nothing about it. But you still can put your submission in before the 28th of February, right? So if you go to the website, and I had trouble finding it. If it wasn't for Jana earlier on telling me off the air where it was, I would have never found it. If you do a Google search for Convention on Education and National Conversation, right? So if you do a Google search, that's probably the easiest way to find it, because there's no point me giving you the address out of the air. It's kind of /// Okay, so it's the Convention on Education and National Conversation. If you Google that, and you'll find it.
And the deadline is deceptive. 28th happens to be on a Saturday. So does that mean that it closes at 12:01 Friday night when it hits Saturday? So parents who think they can do it Saturday at lunchtime, I would say do it on Friday, because it's very strange. The deadline is on a Saturday. I wouldn't trust that either. I would get it in by Friday. Get your 1,000 words or less uploaded. Save the document. We may be asking for parents to send us their document. So then when they publish their report, we can actually see if real parents, real feedback was included or excluded.
All right. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you once again, Jana. Keep up the great work. I watched your latest podcast, by the way, from the whistleblower for the third level education. And it's very intriguing.
It's pretty chilling.
Yeah, it is. It is. If you want to watch it, you can go to Jana. Where's the best place for them to watch that podcast if they want to watch it?
Yeah, so the best place to get to everywhere, we have a website, thanks to public donations, naturalwomenscouncil.com. Click on our YouTube channel and it drives you right to the YouTube where the whistleblower interview is out. It's a third level lecturer and also a psychologist who blew the whistle on how activists are taking over academia and the therapy rooms.
It's a very, very, it is intriguing. It's actually mind-blowing listening to him. And he's so honest. He's such a great speaker as well, by the way.
I was shocked that therapists are reporting parents to TUSLA under the Mandated Reporting Act if they don't trans their children or gender affirm their children. That was quite
I didn't know. I knew that was happening in other countries. I didn't know it was happening here, but yeah. There you go. Anyway, listen, Jana, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and I'm sure we will talk to you again. Jana London from the Natural Women's Council. Now, let me go to, oh God almighty, poor Bernie. Bernie.
Yes.
I'm just looking at my screen here. I didn't realize you were there 19 minutes.
It's okay.
No, it's not okay. I feel bad.
I was very interested by what the lady was saying, actually. It was very nice to hear it.
Mm. She is a very interesting person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, would you homeschool children, by the way?
Now, in this day and age, I would have loved to have homeschooled my kids. Mm. From the cradle to the grave, I would have done my best.
Yeah. And do you think you'd be able to?
I'm not highly educated. I mean, I did my leaving cert and I did my nursing diplomas. I don't have any degrees in anything. But my life learning, and I would get all the books out of the library, whatever it took. I'd look at all the resources to hand before I'd send them into the schools. Now, I would be really anxious about sending my kids to the current climate of schools.
What is wrong? This is what I'm trying to figure out, why we're seeing an increase, certainly over the last 10 years, why we're seeing an increase in people homeschooling children. Why do you think that is? It's just they're not happy with the moral guidance in schools.
Yeah, I mean, like your child, you hold your child for the first time it takes its breath in the world, and you hand it over to these strangers who are going to influence your child and teach them stuff that you don't want taught to your child. Who wants to teach their
But there's no education system that's perfect.
But I came from an education system where we were whacked. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, there's no idyllic thing. However, I mean, what is wrong? Why do we have to go down the road of teaching your child about his anatomy and physiology? What is wrong with teaching them how to change the puncture of a bicycle or to show you how you fix a pane of glass?
So do you think, say, the stuff about relationships and sexuality and all that kind of stuff, that should be left to the family or the home?
That's my job as a parent, what I need to tell my children, what I have gone through in life. I can't teach my children about your relationship with your life. I can only teach them about what I have gone through and how to navigate it the best of what I went through, so they would navigate it as best they can without all this fear and all these awful things. I mean, I don't know half the stuff that there's going on about all these sexualities and all these deviant parts of it. It's really not right.
It's not all deviant. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do agree with what Jana says to some degree and what you were saying. There are parts of the curriculum, and it hasn't all been changed yet. You know, they're changing parts of the curriculum. They've already changed some of it. They haven't changed it all yet. But there are parts that I wouldn't be too happy with my child learning about at a certain age that I wouldn't believe is age appropriate. But not all of it.
But look, education is for everyone. Why aren't they sitting down with each person in the country, or you know, sending all these surveys to the people who matter, the adults of this generation who are want the new generation, the children, to learn and grow up in a good and mindful.
Well, this is what they're saying. I knew nothing about this convention and education national conversation. There's a form, a submission there that parents can send in, but you have to have it in by tomorrow. And I didn't see it advertised anywhere. No, I could be wrong. It could have been advertised somewhere, but I've never seen it advertised. And the whole point is that this kind of whole conversation is going to happen with 30 children, 30 parents, and 30 school employees, which is not an awful lot considering many children go to school.
But not only that, but you don't know which way they're leaning. Like, let's be honest, they were able to send us iodine tablets in case the Chernobyl or whatever yoke happened in England, and yet they can't send us stuff about our children and our innocent, our future. These are our future. These are the people who are going to be our future. And they're doing it on a limited scale of 30 parents. How could 30 parents make a decision for their, 30,000 or 300,000 children in the country?
Okay, well, hold on for a second there, because I need to go to Maureen. Stay with me, Bernie. I need to take a short break, Maureen. I'll be with you straight after this.
Let's Dance, the only weekly over 35s, 80s, 90s and noughties party, returns every Saturday to Dublin's top club, Soho, at 21 Delir Street. Doors open at 5:30, and in 2025, it's bigger and better than ever. Legendary DJs and MCs, dancers, performers, an electric atmosphere, and the best crowd in Dublin. Tickets and group packages for Let's Dance are available now. Search Soho Dublin on eventbrite.ie and we'll see you on the dance floor.
Oh, let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good, Maureen. In relation to homeschooling, is it, like, if you could do it all over again, is that something that you would consider?
Oh, without a doubt. Yes, if I had children in this day and age, they'd definitely be homeschooled. I would not be handing my children into indoctrination centres, because there's a difference in education and indoctrination. And Niall, it's not just the ideology, the false ideology they're pushing on the children about, you know, men can be women and all the rest of this nonsense, and teaching them absolute things about marital masturbation. Yeah. I sent you in a picture. This happened in an Irish school. An 11-year-old little boy, there's a painting in his school next month. An exhibition of the children's paintings. And his painting was the tricolour, and his 11-year-old painting, free in Upbrook, in his 11-year-old little scribble. They're refusing to hang that painting.
Well, a picture of a tricolour, they're refusing to hang it up.
And free in Upbrook, yes. They're refusing to hang it up.
Free in Upbrook, well.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hang on for a second. If it was just a picture of the flag, the Irish flag, I would expect them to hang it up, right? But when you put free in Upbrook or, I don't know, freedom to the people of Gaza or whatever you want to put on, they're political messages.
Yeah,
by the way, I agree with, I agree with the school. You can, if they're children, you can't be putting political messages on a children's wall. They're political messages.
Niall, if that painting had been free Gaza or free Palestine or anything else, that would have been hung.
Well, I would expect equally that to refuse to be hung up as well, because
that child, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm just saying, Maureen, that's a political message.
But just hold on a second. I'm talking about opinions, right? And the freedom of expression.
Yes, but there's also
policies. This is what's happening in schools. There is no education.
Somebody told me yesterday, for example, there was a snooker tournament on. I don't know where it was on. I'm not into snooker. But they sent me a message saying that one of the people wanted to walk out after winning the competition with a Ukrainian flag. There were a Ukrainian person that won or something like that, right? And the organisation responsible for the snooker tournament said, no, you cannot do that. It's a political message. Now, that's not taking away that person's freedom of expression. That's not taking away that person's freedom of speech. That is a policy they have because they don't want political messages mixed with sport. The same way as political messages shouldn't be given out in schools in any shape or form, from the teachers or the students.
Well, then we should tell that to every other sporting body, should we?
We should.
Shouldn't we?
Absolutely.
The point is that schools were once a place where you could speak, you could debate, you could discuss in the classroom. That's not happening today. That child, well, now his parents and his home will be flagged. He will be regarded as a far-right child from a far-right family. People don't realise the propaganda that is being spewed out on a daily basis to indoctrinate adults into not questioning. Don't ask questions.
But can I say something to you, Maureen? And I don't want to offend you because I know you're a Christian. But I could equally argue that if you look at the Christian indoctrination in schools going back 30 years ago, it was very strict. We could argue that was indoctrination as well.
You can argue, Niall. Anyone can argue anything is indoctrination. That is the beauty of debate and discussion. That is not allowed today in schools. That's the whole point. And certainly not when it comes to what they want to teach children. And the children and the people who are pushing this on little children have no morals. They have no moral compass and they have no conscience.
Do you believe in forget about primary school for the moment. Let's talk about secondary school. Do you believe they should have relationship and sex education studies or classes in secondary school?
I believe in school, if it's the truth, biology as in truth.
Well, we kind of got that. When I was in school, we got basic biology.
They're not teaching that today. They're teaching them lies. And yet they stand up there, they say Martin and the rest of them, and they pontificate. Oh, well, we're worried about the children. Really? What a joke.
Okay, well, by the way, will you be submitting there on that website? It's called, Convention for Education and National Conversation. Will you be submitting a submission?
I will. I'll look it up later on. I knew about it, but I'm trying to get over my cold. My face is still a bit sore. The sinus is blocked.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, Maureen, but unfortunately, anyway, look, I have run right out of time there. I should be back after the break. We'll take a few more callers on this.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.